You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Anything she needs, she can call me. Don't worry about her, that's my seat, oh, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me. If you right back in. Anything she needs, she can call me. Don't worry about her, that's my seat, oh, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me.
The next guest has, he doesn't know this, and I should probably not tell him, but he's got a special place in my heart because when I conceived of post-traumatic winning, I had people in my head. I didn't know who they would be, and he's one of them. He represents a group of people to me that I had in my head when all the wisdom that I've got from this culture of ours that in my opinion is so cool. When I sat down to do something with what I'd learned, I knew there was two groups. One group that's already in the darkness, and then another group that's going to be in there. They just don't know it yet. And because, as I say, nobody gets to the car wash without getting wet. My guest, because of what he does in the Marine Corps, you're not going to know his name. You're not going to know the particulars about him, but you're going to learn his story. And I met him at a meeting I went to with General Furness, and he was there. And he and I wound up having a conversation after the meeting about just a leadership issue. And then he looked at me. And so he's going to go by Sergeant, right, Doe, okay? So Doe, say hi to everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
So anyway, he looks at me, he goes, hey, sir, I went through your class. You tell a story the way you told it when I met you that day.
Well, I told you, me and my buddies were walking up, talking about how we were trying to get out of it and, you know, what a bunch of bullshit it was going to be, and just basically about how we didn't want to be there, honestly, as we were walking up. And then after we sat through the class, we walked out and we looked at each other and we were like, that's the best damn brief that we pretty much ever had.
And so we're standing there and we're laughing, and he's telling me, and I think he said something like, and hey, sir, I know you don't need your tire pumped, so I'm not going to go there. And I said, no, no, feel free. Pump the shit out of that thing. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, well, thank you. And he said, yeah, that's not the end of the story, though. So tell the rest of the story that you told me that day standing there.
Well, basically, I just wanted to thank you because my dad had blown his brains out a few months beforehand. In March, and, you know, I just wanted to thank you because that class, I didn't know I was going to need it, but when that happened, it helped me get through the dark places and how my life had been going after that.
And so, I mean, if I tell everybody when in that class, that, look, I'm going to give you everything I know, all right? This is all comes from our culture, so I'm going to give you all these tools, and if you're willing to share your story, if you're willing to take those three goals and those nine commandments and use your own story, you know, in place of mine, you can change people's lives. And meeting Sergeant Doe, one of the coolest things that's happened to me since I started doing this. And so I wanted you all to meet him, and you're going to hear his story today, and we're going to talk about, get his thoughts on all this shit. So before we can do anything else, we have to find out if we can believe your ass or not. So what, generally, what part of the country were you born and raised in?
Northwest.
All right. So you grew up there. How does the Marine Corps get on your radar as a kid up there?
Always thought I was going to go to college, and then sneaky recruiter stuck a card in my locker and went to go talk to him and pretty much signed up that same day.
Get out. That easy?
Yeah, it was that easy. Took my parents up there. They both signed me in because I was 17.
Whoa. I didn't think that was going to be the story. Why did the
yeah.
So you were on your way to college. What did they do? They show you the uniform and said, chicks dig this uniform. What was the hook? Were you like uber motivated?
No,
what happened?
I asked them to set up an appointment, and they said, well, what are you doing right now? And I said, well, nothing. So then I drove over there, and they started giving me the speech and pulling out the cards and the book and everything, and I said, you know what, I think I've heard enough. Where do I sign up at? And I said, well, hey, bud, you're 17 years old. You know, you need your parents to sign. I said, all right. I went back, got my dad. He signed that night. My mom signed a few nights after that.
Good God, man. So so what did they sell you? Did you come in open contract? Did you get guaranteed training? Why, like, what let your... So wait, so you didn't grow up with, like, you know, dad or grandpa's Marine pictures in the house and, you know, watching the sands of Iwo Jima and all that shit? You just went down and got motivated?
Yeah, nobody in my family's been a Marine before. Nothing like that. Just, I don't know. No bonus, nothing like that. No special contracts. That was it.
Wow. You know, I've heard a lot of interesting recruiting stories, but I've never heard anybody say, yeah, I was on my way to college, and then I signed up the day I went in. That might be a Marine Corps record, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
So what year were you in high school? You were a junior, or were you a senior?
I was a senior. It was after football season around December, senior year.
So you're a football player. What position do you play in football?
Offensive line, mostly center and D-tackle.
But you're not that big. Were you a fat guy in high school?
No, I was actually much smaller. I was only about 5'6", 120 pounds.
So what, you were just a badass? Is that what you're going to tell me? That you were a badass? So you're playing offensive and defensive line as a little guy?
No, I played dirty down in the trenches.
Are you an athlete? Did you play other sports?
Played basketball for a while, and then once I hit high school, I just focused on football.
All right. So you played football, and then what was your life plan? Did you have any plan? Were you initially going to go to college and then be what?
I was going to be a geologist. I had a bunch of academic scholarships. So I was going to be a geologist.
So you had academic scholarships already offered to you?
Yeah. I pretty much could have gone to college for free.
Whoa. So when you told your parents of this crazy scheme that I want to be one of the few, one of the proud, what did your parents say? Were they like, not only no, but hell no?
My dad looked at me and was like, you sure it's what you want to do? And I said, Yeah, I do. And so then he signed up. My mom was a little harder to convince, though. She definitely wanted me to go to college.
So what did you say to your mom that convinced her?
It just took about a month of just chipping on it every day. Just telling her, like, hey, still want to do it. And then eventually she just went and signed all the papers.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So... approximately how many years you've been in the Marine Corps? Approximately 10 years, yeah?
I've been in the Marine Corps about 4 years and 3 months.
Got it. Let's talk about your thoughts that day when you go to the class. Let's talk about your life. So had you had much trauma cross your life, the threshold of your life? Had you dealt with any really significant shit in your life before your dad's suicide?
No, growing up it was pretty, I guess I'd just say pretty much an extremely normal childhood. Just played sports, went to high school, nothing crazy. My first couple of years in the Marine Corps, I had a guy I knew in the Army. He killed himself over in Germany, and then I had another buddy in the Marine Corps kill himself in Pendleton, but it was one of those things where you weren't all that close to him, but you just knew him.
Right. The, all right, so you, you go into the class that day, and you've seen other classes, obviously, as this, you know, as the Marine Corps has tried to deal with this problem. You see this come up on the training schedule after the first of the year. You guys are going back. What did you expect the class to be?
I thought it was going to be another class where they sit you down for a little while and just tell you not to kill yourself, and then give you the numbers to every chaplain on base and think that was going to, you know, make a difference.
What do you remember most about the class?
What I remember most about the class is just the no bullshit sense of the whole class. Like, nothing was sugar-coated, and just the fact that even if you don't want to go get professional help, you just need to be honest with somebody about it. You need to talk to at least one person to get it off your chest, and that's honestly was my big takeaway from it.
You know, I don't. A lot of people see it as a, you know, you got to go see a therapist, and to me, therapist is your third choice. If you're married, certainly. Don't be afraid to bring your spouse into your world, because you need your spouse to go there with you. And if you don't have one, then you need somebody who's a great friend, who you respect, who respects you, and who won't judge you. And those to me are both, you know, are both, you know, the people that I go to, before. I don't have a spouse anymore, but before, I'd go see a therapist. I go talk to them, and I think that kind of no bullshit advice that you could put into action right now, today, tonight, if you want to, is to me the one of the most powerful, along with the raw nature of the class, which is Marine like, right? I mean, the class is Marine class. It is in your fucking face, and we don't care if you like it or not. Here you go. But to me, that's so important that, you know, one, stop faking it, right? We're all struggling with something, or most of us are struggling with something. Some people are fortunate, as you were, I think. I mean, you didn't have anything, you know, devastating in your life. I mean, the people, you know, relatively close to you took their own lives, but I mean, that's still a few compartments away, and it doesn't rock your foundation. And so, interesting. So you leave the class, and March shows up, and I think we need to tell everybody, you know, were you worried about your dad taking his own life? Were you, did that come out of the blue? You know, describe to everybody the background of your father's suicide.
Yeah, so I wasn't really worried about him killing himself. Like, I knew he was kind of lonely and that he'd been struggling with some things for a little while, but like, I didn't know it had gotten quite that bad. Kind of just one of those things that came out of the blue, but once you get the word about it, you know, realize it's not all that out of the ordinary.
So were there signs? Had he talked to you about doing it before? Had you been concerned that he might take his own life?
I've thought about it before with me being away from home for so long, but I'd had conversations about trying to get him out of the house more and stuff like that, but I never directly had that conversation, and he never alluded to it with me.
Got it. How do you find out that your dad's taken his own life?
I was just finished up with PT. I was going to the chow hall, and just after I got sat down at the chow hall with a couple of my corporals, I got a call from my staff sergeant, and he was like, "Hey, first sergeant needs to see you." I was like, "Oh, fuck. Like, you know, shit. What did I do this time?" And, end up getting in the first sergeant's office, and, you know, I snapped a parade rest because I think I'm going to get my ass chewed, and he tells me to sit down, and then Chaps walks in, and I'm like, "What the fuck, you know?" And first sergeant looks at me and he's like, "Well, I've never had to do this before, but your father's dead." And I was like, "You know, what happened?" And he was like, "Well, let me go get the Red Cross message." And he comes back in and tells me it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So then I'm like, you know, what the fuck, crying. Chaps takes me into his office. And then while I was in Chaps' office, one of my corporals called me to ask me a work question. And after that, I just kind of snapped out of it, back into work mode. Didn't cry anymore after that, and just got back home on e-leave.
So, all right, so now, so then what happens, right? Is your, obviously you go home. Is there, I mean, are you, first of all, your dad, had he remarried? Is he alone? Are there any brothers and sisters? Who's dealing with this?
It was just me. He'd been divorced since 99. Never been remarried, no other siblings that I have, so it was just me, and my buddy Tucker. Me and Tucker were the only ones cleaning up the house and doing everything like that.
And so you get home, and one of the things you told me was how your dad had planned the whole thing down to the detail. So this wasn't a spontaneous act of him getting upset by something and then taking his own life.
No, it was planned absolutely meticulously. Like, he paid for his own cremation like over a month in advance. I took the batteries out of the clock so they would stop on the time he left the house. Like, foiled the pistols that were around the house and put them back in the spot. Like, everything was clean. Nothing was out of place. Like, the Christmas presents that I got him were stacked in my closet. Like, absolutely everything, down to the very last detail, to the point where he didn't even take his wallet or anything with him. He just wrote his information on sticky notes so that he wouldn't get, you know, his body get looted or anything like that.
And he had the sticky notes on his body when he killed himself?
Yeah, there was two sets of sticky notes in Ziploc bags. That just said the Cremation Society's number, his name and address, and that his emergency contacts. And then he had a house key on him, his phone, a bottle of water for the walk, and then his pistol, but he didn't even bring his holster.
What did he called law enforcement before he killed himself and reported that he reported something where he was? You told me about that.
Yeah, he called law enforcement when he got to the spot and just said, hello, my name is such and such, send help to this location. And he just said thank you and hung up.
So talk to me about, you're going home, you've had... you had the post-traumatic winning class. What was going through your head as you flew home? I mean, those flights tend to be, even though they might not be long in duration, they tend to be long in terms of thought. What were your thoughts about, you know, you'd sat through that class, now you're living this as trauma, right, throws its hand grenade into your room, and you're standing there in this, with dust and shit everywhere. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I had a couple of really close friends that helped snap me out of it almost instantly. Because, you know, I was kind of beside myself. You know, my best friend and my father, you know, is just all in one package. And so I called up one of my buddies who's out now. And I called him. I was like, bro, my dad killed himself. And he was like, hey, I get it. It fucking sucks. He's like, stay the fuck away from alcohol. He's like, don't go fucking drinking this away. He's like, you need something, let me know, but stay the fuck away from booze. And then, you know, immediately after that, one of my old staff sergeants called me. He was like, hey, bro, you know, I got the news. He was like, my dad just passed away a month ago. He's like, if you need anything, call me. He's like, stay away from alcohol, work out, put your faith in God, and get through it. Like, I just had so many people reaching out to me just from the start. And obviously that dies off. So, you know, I was on the plane and I was just wrestling with my thoughts because I was up there alone. But then right when I got back home, you just talk to people. and you talk to people who understand you. And if you start talking to somebody and they don't understand you or they start judging you, wrong person. And so, like, I even reached out. There's an old Marine Corps veteran back home who ran the 22 Motorcycle Club, and I actually went out and got dinner with him, and we bullshitted for a couple hours. And just that connection of brothers, even though you didn't know each other, just made a whole world of difference because they get your jacked up sense of humor and, like, how fucked up the whole situation is and how you're handling it okay. And they don't try and judge you for not being an emotional wreck all the time.
Right, right. You haven't cried enough. You need to cry or whatever, you know, whatever people say to you when you aren't doing it the way they think that you ought to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
How long were you home? So you were the executive of the state. You had to take care of all of that.
So my dad had the forethought to assign his friend as the executor, so that he could handle the legal matters once I left town. So what I did is I packed up the whole house, put the house into storage. You know, got everything handled with the law as far as picking up his firearm and cleaning the blood off of it and everything. And so I handled absolutely everything while I was back home. Got the house on the market, sold the car, and then his buddy and I have been closing out accounts and stuff like that for the past few months and pretty much got it wrapped up now.
So talk to me now. So then as you go back to work and, you know, you can't get these things out of your head, right? They're, as I say, you know, they're the nightmares that keep giving to you. I mean, because time doesn't heal the wound. So talk to me about the things that you've done since you've been back, since March. I guess you probably got back sometime in April. What have you done to make sure that, you know, that you stay healthy, that you stay good, that you do something good with this thing that's come into your life that nobody would wish on you?
Yeah, so some of the personal things that I did is I pretty much cut out alcohol, all the beer every now and again, but I definitely don't drink like I did beforehand because obviously that just doesn't work, and I got warned about that from quite a few people. I definitely wanted to better myself, so I, you know, as every Marine does, I used to smoke and dip. I'll get one every now and again when I get super stressed out, but just try to make myself a better person, make it mean something. So I started working out a lot more, took up jiu-jitsu, just tried to fill my time so I wasn't sitting there alone with my thoughts. And then if I needed anything or if it was one of those bad days, I'd pull my buddy aside and I'd be like, listen, bro, like, not a good day. This is what I'm thinking about. Like, what the fuck? And he'd just look at me and be like, bro, just a bad day. You know, we'd talk through it. And that's pretty much how I got through it. So I spend a lot of time with friends. I talk with friends. And then I just work out a lot, honestly, to keep my mind occupied. And what also really helps is moto as it sounds, is my Marines. Just having them there to, you know, lead. And then you can also help them with their personal problems. And when they're sitting there talking to you about something, as if you don't understand, you know, you drop your situation on them, and then they go, you know, oh, fuck, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. And then they listen a lot more, and just helping them kind of helps me in a way.
You're doing what I do, man. That's the whole, you know, that's the deal of post-traumatic winning is, you know, if the, can you imagine if all you did was focused on how much you hurt and the internal pain and how you're not getting over it and how it won't go away. I mean, you can see how people, if that's what you focus on, I mean, it's devastating, right? It's the black ruin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously I had a few days like that where you kind of forget what you're supposed to be doing and you fall back into your old ways. It would have been terrible because I had a few days like that, and it was just mind-boggling how bad it hurt. And then once you stop focusing on the hurt, realize it's never going to go away, and you just start living your life. Everything gets a lot better.
What's it like? You just mentioned, and you and I were talking when we went to lunch, but I mean, and you are, so you just talked about, you know, when your Marines have problems and you talk to them. You're one of those guys for me. I mean, can you imagine being me and somebody looking at you saying, hey, that's not the end of my story. My father committed suicide in March, and because of that class, I wasn't lost. I knew what to do. I knew there was a path, and it helped me, and it helped me help other people. And now you're doing that. But, I mean, how cool, I mean, so you and I are in the same business, but how cool is that feeling, you know, after what you've been through, to now use it and help other people?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Just being able to be there for somebody else and, like, have them know that you relate, it definitely makes a difference. And then, you know, when they're coming back the next day or 2 days later and they go, hey, listen, like, I appreciate what you said. Like, I get it. I didn't seem very receptive, but it actually helped me out a lot that day, so thank you.
It
means the world.
Isn't it amazing in terms of sometimes it's a little bit of seed planting because, you know, I know when I get it, and in fact, you touched on one of the things that, you know, so when I'm up on stage doing it, I can't see all the eye rolls, but I can feel them. And I can feel the verbal fuck yous that people, you know, the mental fuck yous that people say. When I talk about, I say, you know, I want to say it's the eighth commandment, but it's, if you're struggling with trauma, you know, you're going to have to stop. You know, you're going to have to cut back your drinking and probably quit. And I tell everybody, I said, you know, that's probably the most uncomfortable thing in here because, you know, part of the culture of the Marine Corps is, you know, this rough and tumble life, tough guys going around the world and we have a good time and drink is part of it. And to stand up and say, hey, man, you're going to have to stop drinking if this stuff is in your life in a large way. You know, and I tell everybody that, you know, and I know there's people sitting out there that are thinking, hey, fuck you, old dude. I ain't going to stop drinking. And I accept that. But I'm going to tell you that you may come to a fork in the road in your life or an intersection in your life. Choose the greater life. Choose to be greater. Choose to live a better life. And that choice is going to involve, like, walking away from alcohol. And so it's interesting, you just said that you're living it. That's a pretty hard decision for a lot of people. It doesn't sound like it was that hard for you, though.
No, it's not because, like, you know, whenever I was definitely one of those guys at your class that was sitting there like, you know, fuck you, I'm not going to stop drinking. But then when you get put in that position of, like...
Yeah, then I called your shit, know. Then I called your shit out, would you think? Like, oh, fuck, this guy reads minds, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, then you're sitting there after something happens, and you're like, well, shit, I guess I should probably listen to these guys because my shit just got rocked and I don't know what the fuck to do. And so it's one of those things where you hope people are smarter than you are because, hell, I would have been drowning in a bathtub full of booze right now if it wasn't for listening to people who knew more than me.
Let's talk about that. Where does that come from? That's kind of interesting. Have you always been like that? Because I was, as a kid, I didn't assume that my parents were stupid. And I don't know why, because a lot of kids do. And I don't know if it's the way my parents talked to me. My mom, in particular, talked to me more about life than my dad did. But have you always been a listener? I can remember my mom quoting Abraham Lincoln. You know, a wise man learns from others' experiences, and a fool learns from his own. And I remember shit she would say to me, and I'd think about it, and I was like, well, that's not stupid, you know. And I never thought my mom was stupid. So I think because of those experiences young, I used to listen and consider what people would say to me. Were you like that growing up? Is that something that you kind of grew into as you've gotten older? Where did that come from?
Yeah, no, it's definitely from my upbringing, even though now I'm in the Marine Corps and I'm rough and tumble and, you know, do everything fucking Marines do. I was a very strict rule-oriented kid growing up to the point where, like, in high school, I had one tardy on my record and I was pissed because I didn't get perfect attendance my senior year. Like, that's the kind of kid I was, so I just always fucking listened.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what, I was, it's, I don't mean this to be geeky, but I was the same. I mean, I was not, I think I was a smart kid. I was older, I was wise beyond my years, and I didn't do a lot of stupid shit. Smart people that I respected, I would listen to them. And I think that goes back to listening to my mom when she said smart shit when I was a kid. I just did not assume that they were idiots and that I shouldn't do that stuff. So I listen. But I mean, it makes the world of difference. I want to talk to you about, when I was in Camp Lejeune, 10 days ago or whatever it was. And, you and I had lunch, and then the following day, you helped introduce the class. What was that like?
It was pretty wild because actually before the class started, I walked up outside and ran into one of my buddies, and he was like, "Dude, you gotta sit through this dumb shit too." And I just looked at him, kind of chuckled, like, you know, I've been in his shoes. And I looked at him, I was like, "Nah, bro, I'm actually opening it." And he just looked at me and was like, "How the fuck did you get roped into that?" I was like, "Well, I guess you'll find out." And then I started opening the stuff, and I looked back and I just saw the dude's jaw drop, and it was absolutely hilarious. But it felt good because I hope I got at least a few more jarheads to listen up during that class.
No, it's real interesting. There's a Lance Corporal that started it, right? And then after he sat down, Sergeant Doe stands up and he talks. I think one of the problems that programs have that get brought to Marines is this. If they don't come from our culture, you know, Marines will politely listen to it, and then they go up and they go have lunch and then they go to the gym and they don't think too much about them. But if you want Marines to listen to it, right, it's got to come from our culture and it's got to be powerful. And so to me, that's a bit of a problem with people that bring programs. And so post-traumatic winning, man, if you're offended by the F word, you might as well not walk in the fucking door, man, because you're going to hear it a lot. And so I call them table flipping moments. And what Sergeant Doe was and what Lance Corporal Kiker were their peers. Of these Marines have come in today, and they both say the same thing. "Hey, man, I was here 9 months ago, and I didn't fucking want to be here either." And you see everybody start laughing, right? Everybody's laughing. And then they rock the shit out of everybody, and then they tell the rest of their story. And I always, it's kind of cool for me, because I sit kind of, when they're doing this stuff, and General Furness spoke after they did, and he rocks everybody's shit too, right? Because a general's not supposed to have the problems he has. And so I sit off to the side and I watch them sitting in the audience. And so they start sitting kind of like, "What the fuck?" And then when the two Marines speak before the general speaks, in this case, the Lance Corporal and a Sergeant, you see their facial expressions change right away. And you see about a third of the audience, they lean forward and their elbows go on their knees and their hands go under their chin and they're listening intently to what you say. And that's what they did when you talked about what had happened to you. And I thought it was awesome. Did you enjoy it? Had you ever spoken to that many people before in your life?
Oh, hell no. I'd never talked to a group of just more than the Marines I'm in charge of. Pretty wild. I definitely enjoyed it, though, because I hope at least one or two people, you know, took something away from it.
No, I'll tell you, a lot more than one or two people took something away from it. All right, what haven't I been smart enough to ask you about your thoughts about post-traumatic winning, your thoughts about what happened relative to your dad and the aftermath that you want people to know?
I just want to touch on that, like, there's a lot of people out there that hate dark humor, but, like, for some of us, that just fucking helps us get through the day. So, like, if you don't want to laugh at somebody's fucked up joke, just shut your fucking face and don't tell them not to say it.
do you get told, dude, that ain't funny, you shouldn't say that very often?
Yeah, a lot, but, you know, then I just make even more fucked up jokes, and then they typically just shut up and leave.
You're pretty, I want you to kind of sort of tell one of them. You had some of you have some of your dad's ashes, right?
Yeah, I've got a little vial full. So before this year, when I later found out that Father's Day was on a Sunday, but before I thought it was on a work day, and I looked at my buddy that I live with, and I held up this little vial of ashes. I was like, dude, I got them ready for bringing Father to work day. And he was like, it's fucking Father's Day, you asshole. And I was like, oh, shit, wrong holiday. And I just, like, walked back into my room.
How did he handle that? Did he think it was funny, or did he come in and say, dude, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, he's one of the ones where, like, he finds it funny, but he's also like, dude, are you okay? Like, what the fuck, man? Like, it depends on the joke. Some of them are more fucked up than others.
Right. All right, man. I hope in the future, if you don't mind, when different shit comes up, that you'll come back and resume your anonymous role in this program, and give us your thoughts, because honestly, what you said to me motivated me beyond words. I had you in mind when I did this, and us crossing paths, as improbable as it was. One of the coolest parts of, you know, my last visit, and one of the coolest things that's happened to me since I started doing this. So, on a personal note, I just want to thank you for telling me that shit, because it meant a lot to me personally, because of you've seen the shit I've been through, and understanding the truth of our culture, and then giving it to other people. And for me, what you represent is every person out there that thinks they're going to get through the car wash without getting wet, and which everybody does, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get blindsided. But because you had gone to that class, you had an idea, right? You knew some of the things to do, and you knew where to go to get information, right? And you knew that there was a path. And I think that's so important for people, because you know what that does? It gives you hope. Like, well, fuck, they told me that this might happen to me, and they told me that, you know, that I can do this. And you're just a great example for me of why guys like you and I have to keep doing this, why we have to keep telling that story, our stories, why we have to keep sharing these truths about, you know, why you need to stay physically active, why you need to handle your money right, why you need to talk about it, why you're not going to get over it, why you can't crawl in a bottle or a bottle of pills. And you're a living example of what post-traumatic winning is all about. And so thank you for fucking doing this. Thank you for coming on today. And keep changing lives, man. Keep changing lives. And thank you so much for reaching out to me last week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything, sir.
All right. We're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. That is Sergeant Doe, right? And just an awesome young Marine and non-commissioned officer. And wish him all the best in his future. So don't go away. More of this coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.